Welcome to Knowledge Cast. This is generally looking at the world of knowledge management, information management, data management, and everything in between. This is a little bit of a different episode. We have pulled together a bunch of EK speakers that are speaking at the upcoming KM World Conference in DC alongside Enterprise Search and Discovery, Taxonomy Bootcamp, Text Analytics Forum, the new Enterprise AI World. And we're giving kind of commercials. You get to hear from the speakers before you hear from the speakers at the conference. They'll each talk about their topic, what you can expect to get from the talk. When we have such a presence at a conference like KM World, where there are many, many tracks, and this year I think EK's got 11 different sessions, it's important that you know where you're showing up and don't get to the wrong room. So this is our goal of giving you some guideposts and being deliberate about where you show up and where you hear from us and some of our clients. So we'll jump right in. Here we go. We've got Tatiana, who's speaking as part of Taxonomy Bootcamp. Tatiana, tell us a little bit about your talk.
Sure. Thank you, Zach. So yeah, I'm going to be speaking about ASML's Taxonomy Adventure. I'm going to be speaking with Daniel Cantor, who is our client. He's the KM Program Manager for the KM Learning Organization at ASML. And this talk is going to be about the journey that they've taken to design and implement an enterprise taxonomy in a taxonomy and ontology management system, and about the work that we did with them to help them with this effort. ASML is a leading supplier in the semiconductor industry. They have very complex information. So this talk is going to help us understand the crucial role of taxonomy in managing and finding complex information in global organizations like ASML. During the session, we're going to be talking about how we collaborated with the client, how we leveraged their domain knowledge and our KM and taxonomy expertise in order to build a taxonomy that helps them streamline content management and also enhances the search capabilities in the organization. We're going to be touching on their main business needs around content management and findability. We'll talk about the approach that we took to design and implement the taxonomy. And we'll also talk about the main challenges and lessons learned that we had throughout the effort. So it's going to be a pretty interesting talk.
Yeah, that sounds great. There's also a technology component to this, right? How much are you going to get into ASML's decision-making around the acquisition of a taxonomy and ontology management system?
Yeah, so we're going to speak about, you know, the challenges that they went through when they wanted to identify the specific taxonomy and ontology management system that met both their business needs and technical needs. And also, we're going to be talking about the planning for the implementation effort and what it actually takes for an organization like the size of ASML and the complexity of ASML to implement such a system.
Nice. So this is soup to nuts. This is true enterprise taxonomy, how to kick off a design effort all the way through how to implement it, integrate it, make it work, make it visible and actionable in all the other knowledge, information, and data systems for an organization. Yes?
Exactly. And, you know, we're not going to leave it right there. We're just going to be talking at the end a little bit more about what it takes to create the foundation for a taxonomy that is going to help them with the implementation of more advanced taxonomy use cases in the future and getting to more cool, you know, solutions around artificial intelligence and things like that. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be.
Are you saying taxonomy isn't cool enough? What?
We love taxonomies. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so from taxonomy to AI, that is awesome. And this will be a talk, it sounds like anyone from just kicking off a taxonomy effort all the way through somebody who's trying to harness taxonomy for AI. So kind of all audiences, anybody at the conference would be interested in this one, yes?
Exactly. It could be anyone who is potentially a taxonomist and ontologist and is interested in like learning how, you know, to kick off an effort like this. Could be someone who is from an organization that is willing and looking forward to implement a taxonomy that is going to help them with content findability and management and so on. It could be also people who are more on the technical side of it and would like to understand a little bit more of the business aspects of taxonomy design and implementation effort. So yeah, pretty much for anyone attending the conference.
Cool. And I always love it when we speak with our conferences. Daniel is a really dynamic speaker and a really interesting guy with real passion for the topic. So should be wonderful. Tatiana, thanks. Good luck with the talk. Can't wait to see it and appreciate you dropping in.
Thanks, Zach. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Next up, we've got Lori Gray, who's speaking as part of Taxonomy Bootcamp on Monday afternoon. Lori, thanks for hopping in here.
Thanks, Zach. Yeah, I am really excited to be presenting this year with our client, Kate Vilches from Altig. Our presentation is going to be focused on getting stakeholders and colleagues on board for the ride of creating and launching a taxonomy. And so we are going to be talking through some common use cases. We are going to be discussing how to build and strengthen coalitions internally, and also talk about a little bit managing change and how to make the taxonomy stick. We're going to be giving case study examples from both Altig and my prior work at RGP. So we're hoping that folks will come away with an overview of the key things they should be thinking about and doing, as well as some examples of what it looks like in real time.
Nice. So very much a business-focused, practical presentation for anybody who's looking to get support for a taxonomy effort, to get the business stakeholders to understand the value of it, to get people in a way excited about taxonomy.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think anybody who is thinking about kicking off a taxonomy effort or is engaged in a taxonomy effort that maybe isn't going so smoothly, this would be a great opportunity for them to listen in and perhaps get some tips.
Sounds great. Lori, looking forward to seeing you and can't wait for the session.
Thank you.
Also, I should speak to my own session. On Tuesday at 4:15, I'm wrapping up Taxonomy Bootcamp. So if you're not sick of listening to my voice yet, I hope y'all will come to that. This one is fun. In years past, we've done a Stump the Taxonomist thing where we pull together full-time taxonomists who tell stories and answer questions from the audience. And this year, we're mixing it up a little bit, and it's going to be really kind of a game show format, point counterpoint, where I will generate a bunch of taxonomy, ontology, graph types of statements, and members of one of two teams will have to argue for or against that. And then the audience will get to vote on who they think had the better answer. So as a lot of y'all know, taxonomy design is, there's art, there's science, there's politics all mixed together. A lot of times there's not a perfect right or wrong answer. And this will be a fun session where we're pulling together folks like Ikezon Tatiana Chikiche, Michelle Ann Jenkins, Paul Appleby, Helen Lippel, several other folks to really effectively argue about the right taxonomy best practices and the right way of doing this stuff. So again, that's Tuesday, end of day, 4:15 to 5, and I hope to see you there.
Sarah Duane, welcome. Tell us a little bit about what you're speaking about at KM World.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm speaking with Tom Sommerfeld, previous Chief Research Officer of Feeding America, about our efforts and engagement we worked on together to build out a KM strategy for Feeding America's large organization. And we'll be speaking about our experiences, the KM challenges that Feeding America faced, specifically in the realm of how unique challenges are faced by organizations in the nonprofit space. It's very different than a KM strategy for a financial organization, for a large commercial organization. A nonprofit has very unique challenges and struggles. And so we'll go through what those challenges are in the KM space and how we address them through this strategy and roadmap.
Very cool. I always love it when we get to speak with one of our clients because I think it just tells the story in such a unique way. Mm-hmm. So this is on Tuesday.
Yes.
1:45, and that's correct. The two of you under the nonprofit KM Journey to Success track or series, if you will. What do you hope the audience will take away from the session?
I'm really looking forward to talking with the audience specifically about how they can leverage our lessons learned to build out successful KM initiatives for their own nonprofits or nonprofit related organizations. You know, we learned just, you know, how important it is to frame the value and the ROI of KM for a nonprofit very differently. You want to directly connect ROI to the mission and vision of a nonprofit in that space. You know, so for Feeding America, what they really care about is, you know, meals served, of course, because that's, you know, their larger mission. And so I want to talk with the audience about that, as well as some lessons learned in terms of trying to focus on people as a priority, focusing on shifting KM initiatives so that you're able to not only work on the KM infrastructure at an organization, but be able to associate value with improving and increasing direct services.
Nice. Now, all that said, they are this massive nonprofit, but the audience that you would invite for this goes beyond just nonprofits, right? We used our standard KM strategy, current state, target state, roadmap, and pilot methodology, analyzed people, process, content, culture, technology. You're going to be talking about this. So effectively, anybody who is at the beginning of a KM transformation and looking to assess their organization and get something out of this, yes?
That's correct. We'll be talking about the whole process, the challenges, how we built out an effective solution based on these challenges. So this can be definitely applied to organizations in other spaces beyond nonprofits as well.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for hopping on, and we'll look forward to hearing you speak in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Zach.
All right. Next up, we've got Taylor Pascal, who is formerly of Noom and covering that topic to an extent. Taylor, welcome. Thanks for hopping on.
Glad to speak with you, Zach.
And you've actually got two talks, right?
That's right. Happy to share the stage twice this year.
Let's take them one by one. The first one is on Thursday at 1. That's Enterprise KM and Learning. Tell us a little bit about that talk.
So title here is simple, Solutioning for Enterprise Learning and Knowledge Management. The concept here is to really chat through how we can zoom out, take a high-level view of the blended learning and development and knowledge management approach. And it's going to be a storytelling session where we chat through a past client and experience, how we were able to select a solution that served both ends of learning and knowledge management.
Nice. So you're speaking with, I think, one of your former colleagues, Rebecca from Noom, as well as somebody from the software tool that you picked, Glean. Is that right?
That's correct. So we're going to be speaking. So Lauren from Glean, head of customer success there, and Rebecca, formerly with Noom, who was the head of technical learning and development.
Got it. So tell us a little bit about Glean. Why did you pick the tool when you were at Noom? What does it do? What would a member of the audience get out of hearing you talk about it during the session?
Yeah, I hope that we hear a little bit about why Glean, but we hear a little bit about why the product features, why the features that Glean provides were the right fit for Noom, why it was the right fit for this organization. Things like the personalized enterprise search experience, the expertise locator, content recommenders, and the ability for us as admins to have access to insights.
Nice. And I assume that you'll get into some of the early outcomes that you saw from the effort there, right? So part of what an attendee to the session might get is kind of like the, what do you get out of investing in KM? What's the impact to the organization?
That's exactly what you're going to get. We chat through it at a departmental level. So what different kinds of departments, engineering versus a sales team, what do they get out of it? So we're going to talk about it at that department specific level, but we are going to also talk about what were our success indicators for the successful implementation of the software itself. So a bit of the adoption and engagement concepts, but then also looking at the tangible success metrics for the departments that were choosing to implement and utilize the new tool.
Nice. Now we jump over to Thursday afternoon, 3:00. You're going to have a busy day, and you're speaking with Jessica Malloy of Harvard Business Publishing about KM archetypes. Tell us about that.
We're excited to introduce this concept to the KM world participants. This is a concept that we've taken on the road a bit, and we've given it a bit of a facelift based on validation and feedback, further research. And what we'll do with the audience is explore those traits, the root of behaviors, personal drivers and needs, and then recommended approaches for KM so that participants can identify those archetypes within their organizations, then describe those and their unique culture, and then leave with the ability to apply them, our recommended approaches, to build and iterate on the KM programs.
Nice. And I saw this talk, an earlier iteration of it, at APQC in the spring, and it was, I think, the talk of the town. Everybody seemed to identify it as one of their favorite sessions. So the bar is set pretty high. Again, who would the right audience for this one be?
You know, it's a simple concept, but it is not simplistic. And so I do think that somebody who is in the midst of owning or implementing a KM program, somebody that is in the thick of it, looking for ways to overcome barriers, would benefit the most from coming to this speech. This is, again, storytelling based on experience. It's when we think of archetypes, when we think of different ways of personas, they can tend to be negative. And so we don't want a newcomer to come in and then start bucketing and sorting everybody as they meet a new person within their organization. So somebody who knows their audience already, already has an idea of what they're up against, this is going to be a place for us to problem solve and figure out how to overcome some of those challenges together.
One of the reasons I really liked this talk is because it addresses one of the key challenges of KM as a field, which is there's a lot of different people that are skeptical or nervous or scared for one reason or another. Change is hard, but this is also about potentially taking away somebody's quote unquote power because their knowledge is no longer in their head. And you did a really good job of dissecting that and discussing very actionable ways that you can remove those barriers to adoption, remove those fears, remove that resistance on a archetype by archetype basis. So it's a neat talk. For me, it's anybody that's looking to make change within their organization, be it traditional KM or AI, can benefit from this talk. So I expect it will be a really well-attended one. Taylor, thanks for hopping on. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Great. Next up, we've got Danina Lanius joining us. Danina, welcome. Thanks for hopping on. What's your talk about?
So in this session, I will be co-presenting with Melinda Geest. She is the Web Operations Manager at Intel. And we will be providing insights along our year-long partnership with Intel. The project's primary focus is on transforming the user's experience from the Intel Digital Resource Center, or the DRC. The DRC is a vital platform for employees, contractors, and partners whose role it is to access information and knowledge to create the Intel's digital experiences. So they faced a lot of challenges, such as discovery limitations, irrelevant content, poor visualization, outdated material, all to name a few. So we're going to be addressing these issues within this session and how we presented the solution.
And DRC is learning portal, right? So this is, I get really excited about this collision of knowledge management and learning and how the two can feed off each other. So very cool topic. Who should attend? Is this for beginners, people that are looking to leverage those synergies? Who's the right audience for this?
So what they're doing with the DRC is they're going from what they call, you know, the resource center. These are people who have placed content on the DRC, and it's just sprawl of information, but they're wanting to turn this into a more of a learning portal. So instead of just accessing content that's just information, can't find it, and they really want their users to learn from it and be able to access content within their day-to-day activities. So it is a real mix between knowledge management strategies and enterprise learning strategies. So folks who are really interested in how content turns into learning from the approach of starting with the knowledge management strategies are folks who really should attend.
I love that. And, you know, I would say it even more plainly, like one of the best ways to justify a KM transformation is what it can do to upskill your folks, to better support them and moving up in their career, to get them effective faster and more consistently. Like, this is one of the greatest paths to ROI for KM. So big fan. Talk to me a little bit about the big takeaway. Like, what are folks going to be saying right after they've heard and seen you and Melinda? What's going to be the aha thing for them?
So I think the aha is in content architecture. So when you approach a learning portal and the way that people learn, you approach it from performance-based. So how do you restructure the navigation so that users can access information that they need in the time of need? So we're going to really be focusing on how we approach content architecture from a performance-based lens. And this, I think, is a really big area that has really helped to improve the DRC and was one of the biggest strong points about the project and where it's leading to today, which is helping with performance learning.
Nice. So in learning, there's this phrase, learning at the point of need, and we've co-opted that to talk about knowledge at the point of need. And now you're bringing both of those phrases together. So that's fantastic. Danina, can't wait. And, you know, it always makes me so proud when we get to speak with one of our wonderful clients. So really excited for you and Melinda to pair up on this. Thanks.
Looking forward to it.
Great. Now we turn to Ethan Hamilton, who's speaking alongside our COO, Joe Hilger, at Text Analytics Forum. Ethan, tell us a little bit about your topic and talk.
Yeah, hi. So we're going to be talking about how LLMs like ChatGPT can be incorporated with the enterprise. I'm also excited because it's my first presentation with EK, so it'll be really fun to do this with Joe.
Nice.
And so basically, the main idea of the presentation is we want to talk about some of the generality of the advances in natural language processing, what with transformers and large language models. And we want to talk about how that can actually be used. So there's some different sorts of mental models that are useful when talking about how to start implementing solutions with this technology. So some of the examples there are, we want to talk about the concept of cognitive labor, algorithms versus autonomy versus augmentation. And we also want to talk about the difference between crystallized and fluid intelligence and how these sorts of concepts can help people think about the different use cases where these technologies will really thrive.
Nice. So there's a couple keys to this. One is, this sounds very hipster, but we've been doing this a long time. So this is not a theoretical talk. This is how to do this. This is what works. This is what we've done for our clients kind of talk. So very practical. I'm excited about that. This is not a talk for novices. Who's the right audience for this? Who should attend?
Hopefully a little bit of it will be useful for novices as well.
Because
I've gotten a lot of questions about, you know, with this type of new technology, how do you think about using it? Because a lot of people are used to needing to very specifically define use cases. Whereas with the generality of this technology, it's a little bit more like there's a different frame of mind you can have where you can think about what kind of like cognitive labor you're trying to automate essentially. And being able to introduce a few techniques to people who may be newer to this technology could be useful for them as well. But then also for people who are more experienced with this, we want to take in some examples of the actual architectures that you can build with this technology. So some that we have built in the past, and then some that we're also thinking will be newly enabled by this type of technology. So hopefully a little bit of stuff for everybody to draw from it.
Nice. I like that. Tell me this. What's the light bulb moment when somebody gets through this talk and they're having a beer after the conference and they say, hey, I learned this great thing today. What's it going to be from your talk?
I think hopefully they will be able to have the light bulb moment when they realize, oh, okay, here's an example of a sort of task or piece of labor that somebody normally does in their workflow that now I can separate the actual task from the worker and think, okay, this is a task that needs doing. It's a cognitive task, and it could be done by human or machine, and we can now decide which path we want to go down.
I like that. And there's real ROI attached to that. That's machine automation. It's effectively productivity for an organization. So Ethan, thanks for dropping in. Looking forward to the talk.
Yeah, me too. I'll see you there.
Next up, we have the dynamic duo, Saranash and Ermin Majumdar, are speaking also at Text Analytics Forum 23. Sarah, Ermin, thanks for hopping on.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to be here.
Well, pretend like you're happy to be here, you two. We need to do better than that if you want people to come to your
talk.
An
honor and a privilege.
There it is. So how about the pitch? Tell us a little bit about the talk that you're going to be giving on Thursday at 2.
So our talk is called Scaling Knowledge Graph Architectures with AI. And the impetus for the talk is that we found that we were having the same kind of conversation with many of our clients where organizations are increasingly leveraging knowledge graphs and kind of building knowledge graphs into their like overall ecosystem, but are wondering what are the intersections with developments in AI, and particularly like how can AI be used to go from unstructured content into more structured information that people can sort of ask questions to directly and sort of aggregate knowledge across the organization. And so over the course of these conversations have developed out frameworks for how to plan your AI initiatives in the context of your knowledge graph architecture. And so want to share those stories with the attendees from the Text Analytics Conference, and more importantly, give folks sort of a toolkit or, you know, kind of sense of their maturity. So people can point to, this is where I am, this is where I can get to, with some really practical and lessons learned.
Yeah, and nice. I would add that because I recently learned from one of the Gartner's report that most of the new data that's created in an enterprise, 80 to 90% of them are all unstructured, right? So if you have to get any value out of that, you really need to have the right tools in the toolbox, right? And that's where, like how Sarah said, AI can really help, because it's especially given the three big Vs of big data, volume, velocity, and variety, right? You can perhaps stick with more deterministic approaches as your data changes constantly, right? And that's where maybe AI tools can help, right? Because it can learn from your data. So that's what we hope to discuss.
So I love this topic. I think this is really neat. It's fascinating to me how quickly KM World and the associated conferences have become a forum to discuss data and AI. So what's your pitch for perhaps the KM traditionalists, the folks that are used to more of the tacit knowledge and unstructured content topics of KM? Why should they come to your talk?
Well, I think one of the most important kind of skills that a traditional KMer can learn is how to understand a technical landscape and how to interface with technical teams in order to achieve KM objectives. And as Ermi said, our talk really does focus on working with unstructured content and how to get more value out of unstructured content. And so by attending the talk, what you can do is, you know, one, get some stories around what other organizations have been able to do. These case studies have been primarily with, you know, non-technical sponsors. And so it's an opportunity to kind of see the art of the possible and be able to communicate those ideas to your technical team so you can really partner with them. And it is focusing on unstructured content, which I think is a really important focus for many, many KMers.
Nice. So this is, you know, the traditional role of a knowledge management professional is being a translator between all worlds. This is one of the talks that will arm them to be that connector between AI and KM, sounds like. Yes.
And depending on the maturity of the organization, that knowledge management specialist can also play a big role as a SME, right? One of the things that Sarah mentioned, that we're going to talk about the AI maturity spectrum, and depending on where your organization fits in that spectrum, that person may have a big role to play as the SME, providing feedback on how to improve the model, right, to have a more useful graph, high quality graph as a result.
And that's, I think, a really big deal, Ermi. I'm glad that you pushed on that, because it's true, right? Like, when you go to a conference, one of the things that you want to go back to your leadership with is artifacts, the ability to say, look what I learned, look how we can apply it. And I think that the AI maturity model that y'all are going to discuss is very tangible and something that a lot of people will be able to attend the talk, fill out our online survey, maybe get a product as a result, and leave the conference having said, I have something to show my leadership that can get me more attention, get me more visibility, get me more funding, all of the above. So what's the big light bulb takeaway? What's that thing that people are going to walk out of your session saying, oh my gosh, I never realized, or this is so cool, I can't wait to?
So one of the kind of key resources that I think folks will be able to walk away from is an example of unstructured content and how it can be analyzed through different approaches across your AI spectrum. And I think that resource will be really helpful for people to, you know, what we have is we have a blog that's sort of annotated with, if you were to go to this approach, this is what the rule that would be applied to extract this knowledge from your content. If you were to do auto classification, this is sort of what's happening in the background. For custom ML models, this is the kind of information that it's supporting and how that would actually work against a piece of unstructured content. And so I think that that will be a really helpful resource and kind of a light bulb for folks to untangle, like, what do we mean by machine learning or what do we mean by AI with a really practical example.
Practical is the word, right? There's so much kind of pie in the sky, big talk about AI and ChatGPT. This is real. This is proven. This is concrete. Excellent. Sounds great. Thanks both. Can't wait for it. And again, thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for having us.
Okay, next up, we've got Joe Hilger, COO. Hello, my friend. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Zach?
Good. So we already heard from Ethan about kind of the ChatGPT AI conversation that the two of you will be leading. Talk to me about your other session, Roadmaps for Future Enterprise Search and Discovery.
Really excited for this panel. I'm going to be speaking with Eric Pugh, another co-founder. He's from Open Source Connections, and Jason McCullough, who is from BA Insight Software. And we're going to use this time to talk about what's next in search and discovery. And it really is an exciting landscape with ChatGPT and the whole idea of generative AI, and then mixing in knowledge graphs as yet another way to change the way we deliver search. So I'm really looking forward for the three of us to banter this topic back and forth.
So this is 3 p.m. on Thursday. So what's your pitch to get people to actually stay until the end of the conference and watch you close this one out?
Well, we're not the end. There is a final keynote speech, but the reason to come to this is you're going to be talking to people, all of which have 15 years of search experience, and we're talking about what's next. So your bosses are saying, how are you going to integrate ChatGPT into your environment? Search is a great place to do it. That'll come up. I've heard of these knowledge graphs and other AI tools. How are we doing it? What are we doing? That's going to come up. For me, I think specifically, I'm hoping to steer the conversation into the death of document-based search. In other words, searching for documents is just not what people want. People want answers and they want guidance. So we're going to still show how you can do the old document-based search, but really offer a search that better meets users' needs. So if you want a vision of where you should head, this is the place to be.
Nice. That's a pretty decent pitch. Anything else to add?
Nothing other than I really look forward to seeing everyone at Search and Discovery and really the rest of the KM World conferences in a few weeks.
It's always fun. It's a little bit like a reunion every year, right? You get to see all these colleagues and former colleagues and competitors and former competitors, and it's a lot of fun. So we're definitely looking forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
Sounds good. Thanks, Zach.
Right. So that's it for us today. Again, this has been a short episode of KnowledgeCast to introduce you to our many speakers at KM World and the associated events. Thanks for joining. And if you want to hear more about the topics that you just heard about, can't make it to the conference, please check out enterprise-knowledge.com, where you'll find one of the world's largest knowledge bases of KM, graph, learning, data, thought, leadership. Thanks all. See you.